Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Whoop, whoop. Good whoop, Monday whoop, morning, whoop. Everybody. Hope you have a great weekend. Hope your week is off to a great start. And guys, you tell me if you fall into this same boat that as I'm watching The Last Dance, all I'm thinking about is, oh man, we're down to six. Oh man, we're going to be down to seven before too long. It's going by way too fast.
It is. It is. And the good thing about it is you can go back and see one and two to get to three and four. So you, I think that's what you got to do to lengthen it out. You go one, two, then go three, four, then go one, two, three, four, five, six. You know what I'm saying? And you just keep going back, going back, going back. And then eventually it'll, you know, run its course, but at least you'll get a chance to kind of lengthen your appreciation for it the more that you watch the first couple of episodes before you get to the next.
I love watching Michael Jordan tell these stories because we've heard a lot of these stories. We've heard about Michael being a tyrannical teammate. We've heard about Michael's competitive drive, all these things. But to see him talk about these things, to hear him describe what it was like is new and fresh. And it's just he is a phenomenal storyteller. And it's like it happened to him yesterday. The rawness of it, the visceral way that he tells these stories, the emotions, the words that he uses, all of this stuff makes it seem like this happened to him last season, not something that happened 22 years ago and even further into the past than that, because these Pistons series that we're talking about, these are over 30 years old. I mean, it's remarkable that he still feels it like that.
But what is he supposed to do? Just let it go? They tried to ruin my career, and I got a memory like an elephant. I can remember everything. Take me all the way back to when I was playing in North Carolina. I can remember that. I can remember high school. I remember that coach when that coach told me I wasn't good enough in high school to play varsity. So you remember all of those things. He can recite things that were, I guess you would call, important to him, which walking off the court and not shaking my hand is important to me. Walking by me in a hallway and not speaking is important to me. So he remembers all those things, and you say, oh, well, it's petty. He should forget it. It was 30 years ago. No, he shouldn't.
No, that's not what I'm saying. It's not petty and that he should forget it. I'm just amazed at the clarity on the recall. We'll continue the conversation. Lots more Last Dance to get to. But right now, as promised, we're joined by one of the newest members of the Los Angeles Rams, Van Jefferson, woo-hoo! Joins us on the Sprint People's Hotline. Van, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How you doing? I'm good.
Man, you should be working out right now.
I got an interview, though. I had to talk to y'all. I took a pause right quick.
Is that right? You excited to be a member of the L.A. Rams?
Man, I'm so excited, man. I couldn't be happier, man. I'm blessed with the opportunity, man. My family was ecstatic, man. I was ecstatic, man. So it was a great feeling, man. I was hoping they picked me, man. So I got my wish. So I'm thankful for it, man.
What are you
bringing to? Why were you hoping they would pick you?
Huh?
Why were you hoping they would pick you? What was it about the Rams that you were hoping they would pick you?
Just their offense, man. Just, you know, getting to play with Jared Goff and play with Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. And, you know, I've always looked up to Robert Woods, man. I remember in high school I wore his number two, because he wore number two at USC, man. So I remember, you know, I just love the way he played the game, man, and just watching Cooper Kupp and watching his highlights, man, and just see how he does, man. I just wanted to be a part of that offense, man. I know – you know, Coach McVay is an offensive coach, man. So those are one of the teams, man, that I was, you know, like, hello, man. I hope it's the pick right here, man. I hope it's the pick, and it was.
When you look at where you went from Ole Miss to Florida to now the Rams, what are the Rams getting outside of bloodlines from Sean into the NFL? What type of player are they getting?
They're getting a player, man, that loves to work on his craft, man. A player that, you know, that loves to compete. Player that's going to work hard, man, that's going to put the team first. Someone that can run routes, man, that can run routes with the best of them. That's what I take pride in, man. I love perfecting my craft, and that's something that I work on all the time. So just someone that's going to come in and work, man, and compete his butt off and just try to be the best player he can be every day, man. I'm, you know, just go out there and be the best teammate I can be. So when I get up there, man, I'll be excited, man. It's all about work.
How much influence has Sean, your dad, Sean Jefferson, his dad, wide receiver coach of the New York Jets, longtime NFL player. How much influence has he had on you in terms of that craft and the things that you do as a receiver?
He's had a huge impact. I mean, going back to my middle school days, man, we would just go up to the facility, man, and just go up there and run routes. Or we'd go up there and just practice on dropping my weight. So, you know, he'll just have me running full speed down the field, man. When he say drop, I got to drop. So, you know, it's just different things like that. It's just, you know, him ingraining it in my head, man. We're just going in the backyard, just working on hand-eye coordination, just things like that, man. He's been influencing me, you know, seeing him doing it, and now he's in the league, now coaching, and, you know, just it's something that I always wanted to do. So, you know, and I got some help from my receiving coach down at University of Florida, Coach Gonzalez. He kind of helped hone my skills a little bit, you know, and taught me some things that, you know, that I about releases, man. And, you know, my dad was all about getting it out of breaks, you know, breaking it off. And, you know, at Ole Miss, I was in the slot most of the time, so I always had those free releases. So when I got to Florida going up against guys like C.J. Henderson and Marco Wilson, I kind of struggled with the press coverage a little bit because I didn't know anything about it. So it was just that type of stuff, man. I learned from Coach G and my dad, so he's been a huge influence, man. Hmm.
Van Jefferson joining us here on the Sprint People's Hotline, newest Rams wide receiver. And Van, like you mentioned, you know, you're about working on your craft and improving your game. Is it difficult not to think about the fact that, you know, you were taken where you were taken, that the Rams traded, Brandon Cooks earlier in the offseason, to not try to fill that role, but to just focus on what it is that you bring to the team?
I mean, I'm just going to be me. I mean, I know Brandon Cooks is a great receiver. Had some great years at Los Angeles Rams, but, you know, I'm just coming in and being a player I can be. I'm not trying to, you know, come in and, you know, do what he did. I'm just coming and do what I do, you know. So he's a great receiver. You know, I'm blessed and I'm happy they picked me, and I just can't wait to get up there, man, and get ready to work.
Have you heard from any of the current Rams, particularly the two that you've just been highlighting, Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp?
Yes, I did. I heard from Jared Goff, Cooper Kupp, and Andrew Whitworth, man. They just hit me up and texted me, said they're happy that I'm part of the organization and they can't wait to get to work with me. So, you know, once they texted me, I called Cooper Kupp and I called Jared Goff just to tell them, man, how much I'm ready to work with them, man, and how much, you know, I want to learn from them and pick their brains. And like I said, man, just ready to get to work with them.
Have you spoken to Sean McVay at all yet?
Yeah, I just spoke to him on draft day. I spoke to him on draft day when he called, and that's the last time I talked to him. But I'm sure we're gonna get up here soon and, you know, and talk.
When do you? So are you doing are you gonna be able to do the virtual OTAs, or are you out of that for now?
Yeah, I'll be able to do them when we start up. I'll be able to do them and get on Zoom and things like that. Yes, sir.
Van Jefferson joining us here on the morning show. Van, do you think maybe you might be slightly ahead of your average rookie wide receiver, considering that you're coming out of the SEC, considering we saw so many guys in the SEC, defensive back, safety, come into the league in the high routes? Does that give you maybe a little bit of an advantage coming into the pros?
Well, playing in the SEC for sure. I mean, that's like the next thing up to the NFL, and I feel like, you know, that's the closest thing you're going to get
to. Man, stop all the SEC hype, man.
you're coming from so many guys that, you know, that's going to be like future first round picks, or, you know, maybe early they go high in the draft, man. And you know, I think it prepares you, you know, really well. And going up against guys every week, you never know who you're going up against, and that just as challenges you. That's why you got to be, you know, be on your game. You got to perfect your craft. So I feel like going into it, man, you know, I kind of playing in the SEC and not going to the NFL, it's not the same, but, you know, it's kind of, it gives you a little bit of, you know, insight of how it's going to be in the NFL, even though it's not the same, but you're going up against guys that's going to be in the same position as you. So I feel like the SEC really helps you out.
Man, y'all sure be hyping that SEC up, boy. You in Pac-12 country now, bro. Don't get strapped.
Don't worry about it.
Mess around, get that line of scrimmage and be over there trying to figure out how to get that Velcro off of you.
nah, I'm all right.
You all right? You gonna handle the business?
Yeah, I can handle my own. I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah, Pops used to handle his little skinny self running down the field.
What was the one thing? Speaking of your pops, what was the one thing that he told you on draft night that you think you're going to be able to carry with you for your career?
Well, you know, just everything, man. Just throughout the whole, you just telling me to stay patient, man. You know, just stay patient, and you know, it's gonna happen. You just don't know when it's gonna happen. So that's what I'm just gonna try to carry. Just carry patience, man, and just know when my time is coming, my time will come. You know, and just stay ready so you don't have to get ready. That's what my dad always preaches. So, you know, I'm just staying ready for any moment, man. I'm working hard as I can, working my tail off, man, because you know I want to go in and I want to compete. You know, I want to be one of those guys. So. You know, he just told me just practice patience, man. And like he always says, man, just stay ready so you don't have to get ready. So I'm just ready to get up there, man. I'm ready to work. So I'm excited.
Did you think at all that there's a possibility that the Jets, who needed a receiver, would have taken you and you would have been playing for Sean?
Yeah, it was a thought. It was definitely a thought because, you know, they had a pick. I think it was maybe like two picks after, you know, the Rams pick. So I was like, you know, I was thinking, like, if I don't go before any other pick, I think, you know, I might go to the Jets. So there was a thought about that. But, you know, that's why I feel like, man, it was all God. You know, God wanted me to be on my own and get my own spotlight, man, and get out of my dad's shadow. So I feel like, man, it's just now, you know, God was just – that was just a blessing in the sky. So I'm thankful for it, man, and I'm happy to be at L.A. Ram.
Yes, sir.
Van, what's it like leading up to it? Obviously, you know, the first round is on Thursday night and your name doesn't get called, and then we're going into the second round. I mean, is it just all excitement and anticipation, or is there some nerves like, hey, why isn't my name getting called yet? Would take me through the emotional range of the whole night.
Yeah. Well, like you said, first round, you know, name doesn't get called, and you get into the second round and you see people getting picked, and then you just be like, you just start getting nervous, man. You be like getting nervous and anticipating it. You just keep looking at the phone and keep seeing, you know, looking at text messages right there. And then that one time you get that ring, man, you know, you run into the phone. So it's just a lot of buildup, man, a lot of nerves, a lot of butterflies. And, you know, but then once you get that call, man, it's just a lot of emotion, you know, a lot of adrenaline. And so, man, it was just a crazy night, man, but it ended well. And, you know, I got to celebrate with my family, and that's the most important part about it.
At least you didn't have a CeeDee Lamb moment. They did it wrong. No, she did it wrong. No, come on, man. You got to admit that. Now, we don't want to get into his personal space, but
yeah,
we both saw what it was, though, right?
Yeah, I seen it. It was funny, man. But you know, I don't know what happened with that, man. So I mean,
yes, you do. Yes, you.
Nobody does, right?
Yes,
nobody
you
does.
Do. You know what happened? Mama's face told you what happened. Don't act like that now.
I can't wait to see CD, because I'm gonna be like, man, what are you doing, dog? You know, but yeah. You know, yeah, they got him on live television with that one.
Yeah, that happens.
They got him with that one. They got him.
Van, welcome to Los Angeles. Congratulations on getting selected by the Rams. We appreciate you coming on this morning. Thanks a bunch.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right.
Yeah, that, you know what? Listening to him talk, that's, I like that pick more, because he's like, no, I'm fine. I know what I can do. I'm not worried about it. Like when you said to him, Key, don't worry about, you know, getting that Velcro off you, he did not seem fazed by that at all. He's fine.
Well, he's been around it his whole life. I mean, his dad obviously played a number of years in the NFL, went to Super Bowls. He also, I believe, won the Super Bowl. On top of that, he's a coach in the NFL. So when you grow up in a household with that sort of stuff, you typically are the first one in, last one out the building. You got all the confidence in the world. You know what it is. I mean, how many great players that have been around professional sports their entire lives turn out to be bums? A lot of them turn out to be pretty damn good. And so I think the Rams got a good one. They did their due diligence, and it's a need that they needed, and they went out and got it.
All right, The Last Dance, episodes 3 and 4 last night. Dennis Rodman needed a vacation.
The Worm, baby!
Phil Jackson was down. We'll get into it next on The Morning Show, 710 ESPN. So the Jordan rules has been a topic of conversation, that Dennis Rodman needed to take a vacation in the middle of the year, and the best player in the league and his head coach were okay with that. It's been a topic of conversation. What we have not gotten into so far is Mike Fratello putting Craig Elo on Michael Jordan in that famous moment, and Ron Harper's reaction to it yesterday was absolutely priceless, because his reaction was the same as all of ours.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny. Whenever you see the highlight, we love it obviously because Craig Ehlers was coming to the ground. But every now and then in the right barbershop, you ask yourself, why in the hell was Craig Ehlers guarding Michael Jordan to begin with? And now you realize that the team actually felt the same way. Ron Harper was looking like, what? And at that time, remember, Ron Harper was as cold in a lot of ways as Jordan was before he was shipped out before the Clippers.
For sure. Before he got hurt, he was supposed to – Freaky Harp was that dude. Well, Harp was a legit, you know, as could be. I think at the end of the day, though, when you look at it, you know, that was a bad decision by the coach. Why in the hell would he ever do that? It's because he wanted Craig Ehlers to be the hero. Craig Ehlers just hit the shot right before that with 3 seconds to go. They figured, okay, we'll make you the hero all the way around. Now you can go defend Jordan, and if he don't get the shot off, you'll look great. And we'll win the game, and people will be able to say what a great player Craig Ehlers was.
Well, we saw Harper's reaction where he F-bombed the decision, and it was just perfect. But you could almost see the contempt from Jordan, like, wait, you're going to put Craig Ehlers on me? That Ron Harper was the guy that defended me better than anybody else on that team. Craig Ehlers, it just, the last thing you needed to do was give Michael Jordan any other reason to come and cut your throat, and putting Craig Ehlers on him was insulting in the moment.
Well, that coach didn't think so. Coach figured Craig Ehlers was the guy.
Well, wrong.
Wrong. And then he made it even worse. Then they traded Ron Harper because of all the conflict and stuff that was going on in the inside of that Cavalier squad. That Cleveland Cavalier squad was nice.
They had good players.
They were really, really good. I mean, really, really good players and a really good team. And the fact that that one decision kind of unraveled that franchise in a lot of ways, you know, just tells you how one little wrinkle in time can take what would have been a great run for a franchise and just kind of screw the whole thing up. The Golden State Warriors trading away Chris Webber. The Golden State Warriors trading away Mitch Richmond. I mean, it's so amazing how many times they try to trade Scottie Pippen. And had they been successful with one of those trades, how that may have derailed everything.
Well, think about it like this. Let's go back to Dennis Rodman needing to go to Las Vegas for a vacation in the middle of the season.
The worm, baby.
The decision of the coach and of the best player on the team, like you were talking about, LZ, that a bad decision can send your organization spinning off into a million different bad directions, and that was a bad decision that kind of brought that version of the Cavs to an end, that Phil Jackson was sophisticated enough and maybe more than anything else, confident enough and secure enough in his own style that he was like, you know what, Dennis needs this, because I don't think there are too many other, if there are any other coaches that would say, you know what, my third most important player, arguably my second most important player for a long period of the season, needs to go get drunk for 4 days in Vegas. I'm going to let him go do that. You talk about decisions. He made the decision to let him go do that, and it was a huge part of the reason that they went on that run when he came back.
And I probably would have done the same thing if I was Phil Jackson. You got to know your players, man. You got to know your personnel. You got to know who's who. And at that point in time, Dennis Rodman needed a reliever. He needed a stress reliever for whatever reasons. And he said, hey, go to Vegas, 48 hours. Now, obviously, he took a couple more days than that, but at least Phil recognized that, and Michael recognized it to the degree where he, you know, basically said, okay, if Phil's letting him go, then you go ahead and go, but I'm going to make sure to check up on him a couple of days later. And then Michael had to go retrieve him to find out that he wasn't coming back in 48 hours. Wasn't a surprise to Michael.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be able to understand the rhythm of your players. Mike Tomlin understood the rhythm of AB enough to get a lot of production out of him. Obviously, you see what happens when he's away from Mike Tomlin. You know, we clown Isaiah Thomas for a lot of reasons, but the one thing that was always impressive to me, and we don't talk about a lot, is that his handling of Ron Artest at the time with the Pacers really made that team a very good, dominant team. And as soon as Isaiah Thomas was gone, you know, Ron Artest went through a series of things. You know, Dennis Rodman, before Phil Jackson, Chuck Daly knew how to handle Dennis Rodman. And what did he say famously to one of his assistants? You don't put a saddle on a Mustang. When he said that in the doc, I was like, damn, that is a hell of an analogy. That is a hell of an awareness. Because there are a lot of coaches that want to put a saddle on everything because they want to control everything. Chuck Daly and then obviously Phil Jackson knew that we don't need to control him. We just need to direct him and guide him.
But think about the guys that you just mentioned, LZ. Mike Tomlin has won a Super Bowl and is secure in the Pittsburgh organization as really anybody could be. Chuck Daly was a made guy for the Pistons who was allowing Dennis Rodman to be Dennis Rodman. Phil Jackson, at this point, had already put 5 championships on his resume, and he can make these decisions. That you have to be comfortable with the criticism that you know is coming. You have to be comfortable with the blowback, because Dennis Rodman tearing it up in Vegas for, you know, 4 or 5 days is going to result in, hey, why the hell did you let your guy go? And you have to be a guy like Phil Jackson, say, because he needs to. If you're just some rank and file NBA head coach and you turn one of your players loose, number one, you might have a problem in your locker room. And number two, the media and everybody comes saying, wait, you let one of your guys go on a 4-day bender in Vegas in the middle of the season? They can't stand up to that. Phil Jackson, Chuck Daly, Mike Tomlin, those guys can stand up to that scrutiny.
Yeah, rank and file NBA coaches wouldn't need to ask them anyway. If I'm going to Vegas, I'm just going. That's
to miss games though, Key? You're just going to disappear.
That's what I'm saying.
Games?
That's Rodman. Rodman is just going to go. He ain't going to ask no rank and file coach. Yeah. Dennis Rodman just going to bounce. Y'all going to have to come find me. That's what's going to happen with a rank and file coach. Plus, a rank and file coach ain't going to have Dennis Rodman on his team because he's not going to be able to handle him, and he knows it.
Well, they tried it. They tried it in San Antonio. It didn't work. They brought him to the Lakers, and it really wasn't particularly effective. That you need the right guy.
Well, he was done at the end with the Lakers, though, at that point. At that point, it was more about coming to Newport Beach and hanging out in L.A.
Yeah. You guys, I have to apologize. It wasn't Mike Fratello who made that decision. It's even worse. It was Lenny Wilkins.
Yeah, it was Lenny Wilkins was the coach in Cleveland. You said Mike Fratello, I wasn't going to correct you, but I was like, wait a minute, I thought that was Lenny Wilkins, but, you know, Lenny, I figured you knew something I didn't know.
Lenny Wilkins, Hall of Fame coach, Hall of Fame player, looked at Ron Harper and says, I'm going to put Craig Elo on Jordan.
It's a pretty big mistake. Okay, real quick. Let's be honest here, though. Michael Jordan makes that shot over Ron Harper, too, right?
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know.
He's Michael Jordan.
Maybe, but yeah, Freaky Harper had him, but they play him different. You know what I'm saying? Just play different.
Because remember, that squad was 6-0 against the Bulls in the regular season.
Not at that point, they weren't. They were 2-2.
No. But I'm saying there had to have been enough of you to understand in terms of defenses that you had to have known that you were 6-0 against the Bulls in the regular season because Craig Elo was locking them up.
Ron Harper had a little more athletic ability to
stop. Yeah.
No. That's not the point. Is Ron Harper a better athlete than Craig Elo? Look, I'm not crazy. I know that he's a better basketball player and a better athlete. But the question is that Michael Jordan, I don't care who's guarding him, he finds a way to get that ball in the bucket.
That probably is true, but it would have been a little more difficult with 3 seconds left on the clock over Harper. I take my chances with Harper in 3 seconds than I would with Craig Elo. That's all I'm saying.
Lenny Wilkins,
Is he still with us?
Yes. I want to say he absolutely is. I will check.
But he's got some explaining to do.
But if he is, we haven't seen him
in the doc yet. That's
Get him on radio, Raj. Do something.
All right. The Rams made their picks. They got that running back. We just heard from Van Jefferson as well. What did the Rams do in the later rounds? How does Key like it? That's coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
So the Rams very clearly fell into the category of drafting for need because, Key, you look at what they've got going. They take the running back in the second round, Cam Akers. They take the wide receiver, Van Jefferson, who we just talked to a few minutes ago. He's also a second round pick. They need to replace Brandon Cooks. They need a linebacker after Corey Littleton left. They replace him with Terrell Lewis out of Alabama. You just go down the list. The Rams were filling holes in their roster.
And as they should have, and I thought that that's what they would do, considering that they lost a number of players that helped them reach the Super Bowl a couple years ago that are no longer on the team. they need to replace those bodies at those positions. And the main two, obviously, is Cam Akers, the running back out of Florida State, and Vance Jefferson out of Florida by way of Ole Miss. You just knew that they would take a receiver, and they probably most likely would take a running back. I was on Mason in Ireland the day of the draft, and we talked about them taking a running back, but we figured it would be somebody like a Jonathan Taylor or
Dobbins.
J.K. Dobbins or somebody, DeAndre Swift, somebody in that realm. But when you look at it, like Mel Kiper said, Cam Akers certainly fits their style. He needs to work on his hands a little bit more, but that'll come. He is a pretty good catcher out of the backfield. You can detach him from the line of scrimmage and allow him to do some of the things, same things that Todd Gurley was capable of doing. Then when you look at Vance Jefferson, much like Mel said, you're not going to get the take off the top, over the top guy who's all of a sudden going to have a lot of production on the run after the catch, those sort of things. But he is a pro before he's even a pro. He knows how to play football.
I was a little surprised to see them pick a tight end so high. They already have two, you know, including, you know, Gerald Everett, who was drafted to kind of be like the number one tight end. Was that a shock to you at all that they would go there and not, you know, shore up some other positions?
No, because you want to have the depth of tight end position. Plus, Gerald Everett is not an inline tight end. He's more of a receiving tight end for them. They need somebody that has a little more punch. Higbee, you know, he's coming along, but he's not the inline blocking tight end that they're looking for. And I think the draft pick that they got is more of that. Not great with the hands, but he's a powerful run blocker, and he can do some things and help in protections at the line of scrimmage.
Go back to a second. Go back to the top two guys. Cam Akers, the running back out of Florida State. Van Jefferson out of Florida, the wide receiver. They're not just guys that they spent their first two picks on, but they're replacing guys that were integral to the success of what the Rams were doing. You're talking about Brandon Cooks was the deep threat that they have. Van Jefferson, from what you're telling me, Key, is not that type of receiver. Todd Gurley is a pretty unique guy as far as his ability to not only run the ball, but to catch the ball and do those other things. Todd Gurley's a really good blocker, too. Cam Akers comes in. How different is this offense going to look? I mean, I know that they replaced the positions, but Brandon Cooks was one type of receiver. Jefferson is different. Gurley is kind of a unique talent. I know Akers can catch, but he's probably not Todd Gurley. How different does that offense feel?
It won't be any different at all. I think that when you look at Vance Jefferson, you say, well, take the top off of it. Well, it's not. He may not take the top off in terms of beating somebody, but if he's running down the field and the defender's going with him and somebody else is coming underneath, he's done his job. He's a do-your-job guy. You don't have to run 4-3 like Brandon Cooks to take the top off. What you got to do is do your assignment. If you do your assignment, everything else will fall in play. And I think that is more so than anything it was Sean McVay and Les Snead took a look at. They didn't necessarily say, okay, we got to go out there and get a 4-2 guy. We just want to get a guy that's a pro that will do everything that we're asking him to do and be where he's supposed to be within his assignments.
You know, we talked a little bit about, you know, the fact that, you know, Van Jefferson wanted to be out of his father's shadows. Akee, how difficult is it for a guy whose father played in the league to try and create their own space? You know, we were talking about Thaddeus Moss, you know, during the break, and the fact that he wasn't even drafted. And I was just like, I would have just drafted him just because his last name was Moss.
Yeah, you and I think different. But he had a broken foot, I believe he had surgery on, and he couldn't participate in the combine. So, you know, all those sort of things will make a team say, you know what, let's not draft him. Plus, what did they view his ability? Did they view his ability as such that he was worthy of getting drafted regardless what his medical has checked out at? And probably not. They probably didn't feel that way. And it is a lot of pressure to follow, you know, people, whether it's your son, your dad, whoever. It's just it's hard to follow, you know, somebody that set a legacy, much like Van Jefferson, much like Randy Moss, much like any kid that has family that kind of led the path in that particular industry to come back and follow. It ain't just in sports. It's in politics as well. It's in fashion. I mean, it's in everything. Music. It's hard acting. It's hard to follow that.
I think to follow the act is certainly hard, especially if the father was incredibly successful. But
and LZ, remember, man, it's hard as hell to get drafted. I don't give a damn who you are. You know, ain't nobody's gonna do the nepotism game. Okay, they ain't doing that with Randy Moss. They might do it with Ricky Prohl and some of these other dudes, but they ain't doing it with Randy Moss. Okay, let's not forget about that. Well, because that's just Moss wasn't beloved like that amongst the NFL coaching community for whatever. Even people that didn't coach him will tell you that they don't like him. Why you don't like him? Well, I just don't really like that guy. You know, you don't even know. They don't even know why they don't like him. And that sort of stuff does resonate and carry, where guys will deliberately not deal with you or deal with people that deal with you out of spite that something that happened 20 years ago that they had nothing to do with. The NFL is weird, man. It's weird.
The advantage that a guy like Van Jefferson has, I think, yes, he's got to follow a father that was very successful, but the familiarity of the league, this is what it is. That it's not because, I mean, you think about it. When you're playing sports as a kid, most of the time everybody's telling you, oh, to get to the NFL is virtually impossible. To get to Major League Baseball is virtually impossible. To do all these things, you got to be so, so lucky and all the. But when you see it happen every day and you're in a locker room and you realize, okay, this is just a guy. That's just a guy. I can do what this guy does already. It becomes much more attainable if you're just immersed in that universe from the time you're a little kid. It loses the mystique of it, I think.
Yeah, but also the flip side of things, you can get burned out too as a player. Because you've been doing it already for so long, you're like, man, I really don't want to play football no more. I just want to live. I've been dealing with this my entire life, and that can happen as well. You've seen that a number of times.
Like Dennis Rodman just needs a vacation.
Just needs to go get hammered for 5 straight days in Las Vegas. Who doesn't want to go do that? George Sedano joins us for Crosstalk. That is coming up next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. All right, we're looking for George. He'll connect here in a second. You know what? One thing we have not touched on, guys, from The Last Dance last night that I think is fascinating is that Jerry Krause, in the middle of that final season, went out of his way to reestablish the fact that Phil Jackson is not coming back. And if Michael Jordan doesn't like it, then, well, that's his problem, not mine. I mean, that's insane.
Yeah, he obviously has some ego going on right there. That was an ego issue. It had to be. I mean, like, come on, man. You went out your way while they on the road headed to Utah to go and talk to the media about when somebody's not coming back.
I just don't understand this mentality of I'm just going to break up this successful team. Like I'm not getting the notoriety, I'm not getting what
my ego says I should get. They're not talking about me. They're talking about Phil, and they're talking about Pip, and they're talking about Rodman and Mike, and they're not saying anything about me. I'm the one who did it all. Me.
And he found Phil in Puerto Rico. I mean, I did like
that one of those Puerto Rican owners got punished by not being allowed to come to any home games after he shot a referee. That seems like mild punishment for shooting somebody.
Was it Puerto Rico he found? Was it Puerto Rico he found him? I thought it was somewhere else.
Yeah, well, Puerto Rico, and then he went to the CBA, and then he
It Puerto Rico originally though?
Yes.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I thought it was another country, but I guess not.
George, are you there?
I am. How are you? Good morning.
How are you, George? This morning.
How are you?
I'm excellent, Keyshawn. How are you?
That's good.
George, have you ever shot a ref before?
I haven't, but listen, I grew up, in an area where there's a lot of Cubans and Puerto Ricans and Caribbeans, and we just handle things differently.
Stupidly, right? Is that what you're saying?
Differently is what I would say, you can say that.
That don't make any sense.
Yeah, yeah.
What did you make of episodes 3 and 4, George? Did you enjoy them as much as we did?
Excellent. Look, I found myself sitting there going to myself, I would pay a lot of money to see a pay-per-view version of Dennis Rodman's, it wasn't 48, extended time there in Las Vegas, and video of watching Michael Jordan knocking on his door and opening the door to Carmen Electra hiding under a blanket or whatever she was doing on a couch.
Yeah, was that? But that's what I was trying to figure out. Was that in Vegas or was it back in Chicago?
No, in Vegas,
she
said.
It was in Chicago.
See, oh, no, really? I thought she said Vegas.
I thought she said Vegas, too.
Yeah.
I thought they said Vegas. I thought they said Mike.
According to the director, he said there was a miscommunication, or it wasn't laid out clearly. So he has cleared it up. They were actually in Chicago when Michael went to go get Dennis. Not in Vegas.
He was already back from Vegas.
Yeah, they made it sound like he was still in Vegas. But I'm glad the director, producers, and the production team has cleared it up for us, so we're not running around talking about they were in Vegas.
Good job, investigative reporting by LZ Graham. But I would still want to see, LZ, wouldn't you want to see just the footage of all of that?
Hell, yes.
I can tell you what the footage looked like. He's on the couch, laid out, drunk.
You are burying the lead, people. Dennis Rodman was with Carmen Electra. That's the lead.
I remember that. But he was a rock star, though.
That was it. She likes rock stars. He was a rock star, basically.
Yeah.
Same thing. Tattoos, weird. Nose rings.
Yeah. Bizarre. That didn't work out long term. It's not a huge surprise. Dennis and Carmen did not live happily ever after.
I think they got married, didn't they?
I thought it was a brief marriage.
Yeah, they were married, yes.
He put in peak Carmen Electra.
Madonna.
He put in peak Madonna.
Yeah.
I mean, damn.
Yeah. Carmen Electra, by the way, still looks great, doesn't she?
She does.
Yes, she does. I'm sitting here like going, dang. Dennis was leading the league in rebounds, had championships, and had the baddest women on the block.
Mm-hmm. And three little letters on the side of his socks. NBA.
Yeah.
Dennis was from a different planet.
It's very important. Hey, Jorge, very important when you're talking about stuff like that.
Sí. Muy importante.
Yeah, sí. Go ahead, amigo. You can talk, Travis.
Well, thank you, Key. I appreciate that. You guys good?
Yeah, numero dos, Travis. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, since we've already moved down this route, who had more game? Rick Fox pulling in peak Vanessa Williams, ooh, or Dennis Rodman pulling in peak Carmen Electra?
Don't forget that Rick Fox also, didn't he marry or was dating for a long time Elijah Dushku?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, but I'll go peak Vanessa Williams before I go peak Carmen Electra, because Vanessa Williams had a pretty awesome career.
And pristine.
Yeah.
Yes.
Pristine.
Well, Carmen Electra was a different category, right? These were different varieties.
George, that's what I'm saying.
Like, injected with disinfectant, right, George? That was
she was Miss America, man. Yeah. Anyway, she was Miss America, and Carmen Electra, but it's a different.
Yeah, it's a different situation.
You said pristine.
Vanessa Williams is pristine. I'm not saying that Carmen Electra is not. I'm just saying Vanessa Williams is.
But it certainly gives you, it certainly makes you feel as though you like a shinier pearl. That's all you're saying. You just want the cleaner diamond.
I don't know if the other one's a brand. Never mind. This feels like a category that could lead to problems.
We need this to back is crosstalk, baby.
Merriam-Webster's dictionary of the word pristine. Not spoiled, corrupted, or polluted. Pure, fresh and clean, as if new.
Really wish you hadn't thrown polluted in there. But the thing is, it's different lifestyle.
So what did you make of the draft, George? The NFL draft.
I felt like the Raiders are literally trying to be in a track meet with the Kansas City Chiefs. I feel like that's their goal. What did you think?
Well, they certainly addressed, as I said the other day, they addressed the issues that they needed. They needed a receiver. They needed a defensive back. Some would argue that the receiver that they selected, looking at college production, Henry Ruggs didn't have the numbers of Jerry Jeudy. So damn what? Have you ever looked at Kelvin Johnson's college numbers?
Well, he played at Georgia Tech, so they only threw the ball to him. But, yes, I get your point.
And when you go to Alabama, they throw the ball to four or five other different receivers. So you're not going to have those numbers. They address that. Some would argue that the cornerback position, Arnett, they could have gone a different way. But they needed a corner.
I need to talk again. It's my turn. It's time for George to do his show.
Well, you do whatever you want. I'm out.
At 6 a.m. on the morning show. Buenos dias. ESPN. Buenos dias.